Today we're continuing on the yamas. The first yama, of course, as we know, is non-injury, ahimsa, not harming others by thought, word, or deed. Gurudeva points out that to practice ahimsa, we also have to practice the niyama of santosha, or contentment. A good illustration of this is something you may have seen. You see a child that's not content, discontent, not really peaceful on the inside, and so what's the greatest joy? To make someone else discontent, right? Misery likes company. So there's a tendency to disturb others if we ourselves are disturbed inside. We don't want to be alone. So therefore, the remedy that Gurudeva points out is we need to be peaceful. We need to be content within ourselves. If we're content within ourselves, then the tendency to disturb others is removed. There's no motivation. We'd rather see them content, in fact. The philosophical basis for ahimsa begins with the understanding that the divine is within all things, all creatures, all people. And when we have that understanding, we don't want to hurt someone else because we're obviously hurting the divine. But if we don't see the divine within someone, then it's much easier to hurt them. We just think of them as a person. But if we see God within them, then we certainly wouldn't want to harm them. The Hindu point of view is that the divine is the essence of everyone. So even if people are acting in evil ways, even if people are criminals or terrorists, the divine is still there. It doesn't go away. Their intrinsic nature is always good, even though they may act externally in inappropriate and criminal and terrorist ways. So sometimes we run into the Western belief, which doesn't look at it that way, where we have good and evil. Forces of good and evil are at play in the world, and we're the good guys, and somebody else are the evil people. And therefore, it's all right to treat the evil people differently than we treat the good people, because they're evil. But of course, that's not the Hindu perspective. There is no good and evil people. Everybody is a divine being on the inside. So even if people are terrorists, it doesn't give us the right to harm them. The Quran has a beautiful verse on that. It says, harming others, even enemies who harmed you unprovoked, surely brings incessant sorrow. So even enemies who harmed us unprovoked, we can't even harm them back. Tirukural won't let us. So, of course, this doesn't apply to the armed forces or something. We're not saying that countries have to be pacifist and can't have an armed forces that defends it and so forth. The armed forces is under different rules. This is the ordinary citizen. But the person not in the armed forces or not in the police department, how they should look at it. And they shouldn't harm people. There's no justification, says the Tirukural, even if it's an enemy who harmed you unprovoked. Taking the philosophical perspective one step deeper, we start with seeing the divine in each one. That gives us lots of divinities, right? We have 40 different divinities here this morning, maybe. But of course, as we know, there's only one divine being, one God, one spiritual consciousness. So when we look at our philosophical perspective in a deeper way, we see the oneness, the spiritual oneness that ties everyone together, the one spiritual consciousness flowing through all. There's a nice story on that, the story of Samana Selvi. You remember the old lady in the flooding river? So the king asked all the people in the village to help build the dam to keep the river from flooding the village. So she was too old to do it herself, so she hired a laborer to build the dam for her. And of course, as we know the story, the laborer was constantly misbehaving, sleeping when he should be working, dancing around, doing everything wrong, not doing his share of the duty at all. And then finally, the king himself came up and hit the laborer with the cane because he was misbehaving. And because the laborer was God Shiva, every person in the world felt that hit, right? Remember the story? Pointing out that God is within everyone, and therefore, whatever happens to God, everyone feels. But we can also turn the story with a slightly different meaning. We can say that we're all tied together in a one consciousness, and therefore, whatever happens to one person happens to all people. So if one person is hit, all people are hit. If I hit someone else, I'm also hitting myself, because we're all tied together in a spiritual way. Albert Einstein, interesting to quote Albert Einstein in the middle of a Hindu talk, but says something very profound that's related to this idea of everybody being tied together in the oneness. A human being is a part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest. A kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole nature in its beauty. Isn't that nice? You can see that circle just broadening and broadening and broadening in terms of what we encompass.